Hello and welcome, dear listeners, to our second episode of Talang's Investor Relations podcast. I am Shirley Inafa and I am happy to be your host again. Today's topic moves, shapes and changes the whole world. It is about digitalization. Since the 21st century, technology-driven developments have triggered a fourth industrial revolution. We here at Talang's are dealing with this topic in a comprehensive way. That is why I am particularly looking forward to our guest today, Dr. Jan Miskowski. Hello and welcome, Jan, and thank you for taking the time. Jan, you are head of Best Practice Lab at Talangs, and with your team, you guys make an important contribution to one pillar of Talangs' strategy, which is digital transformation. Since I, and probably most of our listeners, do not know this, what exactly does the Best Practice Lab at Talangs do? To me, well, lab sounds as if you're researching things at your office, New Munich. Well, would this be the right understanding of your work?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, almost. I mean, we do, I wouldn't call it research, I would call it maybe search. And actually, we do not search ourselves, we do also, but we try to enable our employees, over 21,000 employees, to search, find, and finally implement the innovations. So we see ourselves more kind of like an orchestrator, and we definitely try to avoid to be kind of a monopoly of the guys who are innovating or doing digitalization, because we strongly believe that actually it's a job for everybody, the whole organization, but alone you cannot do it. So you need some kind of enabling, orchestrating, and this is exactly what we do. In fact, we do two things, if I would describe it to somebody who doesn't know us. One thing is we try to avoid reinventing the wheel. That means if there is a wheel in Brazil and in Poland they are searching for this wheel, or Germany, we try to connect them and make sure that this wheel will be copied, or at least they get inspired by the solution in other country or company. We do it via what we call labs, and labs are basically communities of similar interests, and they normally meet twice a year for about 3-4 days. In the corona time, we do it virtually, but the main five labs or communities are, two are kind of very close to the P&L, because they are looking at pricing, and pricing is basically done by marketing, pricing, and distribution. So they fill the revenue line in the P&L, and the second one is the second biggest cash flow, which is basically service, claims, handling and management, fraud, and also customer services. And then we have three labs that are kind of going across different departments. One is the most important for this topic, the group digital lab. These are kind of like a COOs. They look at the whole company from the digital perspective, meaning like, what can I do with data? What can I do with the algorithms? And then we have two labs that are focusing on concepts that are very powerful. One is behavioral economics, and the second one is artificial intelligence. And if it comes to the situation where we don't have a wheel in the company, but the wheel might be outside of the company or not existing at all, we do innovate jointly together. And for that, we use what we call agile desk, where people come for a week or two. The objective is to produce a prototype of the idea. It could be chatbot, voicebot, or whatsoever, and then keep improving it and finally implementing it. And this is done in a very self-organized, empowered way. And I always say that if you have an idea, as soon as possible, it's important to have something real, something tangible, because then the discussion focusing on this thing and improvement rather than on this messenger or the guy who has an idea. So this is very important to very, very quickly have this ball so that people can go for the ball and for the player.
Thank you for the overview, Jan. Well, I think successful and sustainable digitalization strategies are a must-have for every company in today's world in order to remain competitive. But what exactly makes Talangs better than other insurers in this area? And what do you consider the strengths of Talangs' digitalization strategy versus the strategies of peers? And Jan, one last question. Where do you see a need for change?
First of all, I'm not a big friend of benchmarks, yeah, because especially if you want to lead, I think Well, you can learn from others, but I think most of the potential is inside the company. And sometimes looking outside the company is kind of distracting you from the assets that you have in the company. For us, it's very important that whatever we do is tailored to our governance. So our governance is a decentral. So the pull rather than push is used. So if I would do what we do for a company that is centralized, it would be completely different. So for us, number one, it has to be integrated in the governance and the way we work as a business. Secondly, there are different ways to get to the vision, to the objective. But very often, like in a navigation, you know where you want to go, and navigation typically knows where you are. But very often, it is ignored in the companies that people kind of ignore the fact that, I don't know, Brazil is over there, Mexico is somewhere closer, and Germany is already beyond the target. So it is very important to understand where are we and take account of this while innovating. So we are very close to our companies, to the kind of front of the business, to understand where they are and how can we get them to the destination that is innovation or vision. For the digitalization as such, we have an underlying structure, how we look at it, and maybe this is different from other companies. We have kind of five dimensions. Dimension number one is customer centricity. So why? Because they pay for our salaries and everything. So to ignore them, I mean, we basically will not have money. So this is number one. And it's at the core of everything. The second dimension is the strategic use of data, because we believe that facts beat guesses. I mean, it's always good to be based on facts and use the data. The third one is the automation of processes, because you can be more efficient, you may be faster, easier, more comfortable. The fourth one is partnerships, because I don't think that any company will be able to survive in the future alone. So you need to partner. And finally, the prerequisites, because you need to walk before you run. So sometimes people ignore the status quo of the company and go for very fancy, innovative things that will not work because the base is missing. So if you have a nice balcony, you need a wall. The wall needs a fundament. The fundament needs a land that you can build it, and you cannot ignore it. And if you have it, you can be fast and innovating. To be honest, I mean, we know some of the best practices of other companies, how they do it, but it is very, very hard to copy it or even to compare sometimes, because they are differently organized. What is key for us, and maybe this is different from other companies, that we are against monopolizing of innovation, digitalization, stuff like that. So I personally don't like the fact that there is, I don't know, chief digitalization officer. Because what happened, everybody lays back, say, okay, that they have to do it, I do my other job. For us, it's very important that everybody, whatever you do, it could be communication, compliance, whatever. You always look at what can I do with the data? What can I do with algorithms? So it's kind of part of everybody's job rather than a guy who is just doing innovation, which I think never really works.
Well, when I think about your work in a more practical way, are there any guidelines or standards that you and your team follow?
The continuity of what we are doing is based on four principles. Principle number one is focus. So we say we follow the two biggest cash flows, the revenue that gives the meaning to the rest of the P&L, and the biggest cash flow out is basically service. In our case, it's claims. The second principle is to be pragmatic, so not academic pragmatic. So we talk like a normal person. We don't use abbreviations and stuff that people get scared and don't understand. So this is very important, that people feel comfortable about talking if it's a problem or opportunity or whatsoever. So be pragmatic. Results oriented is important for us, but it's kind of like a second hand for us, because we do not operationally implement these things, but our CEO, Thorsten Lawyer, always asks the CEOs, is it helpful? If it's not, what did it deliver? And some of the companies claim even that about 30 or 40% of a profit comes from this collaboration and exchange. And the last principle, the most important one, is the voluntary. So we don't want to force anybody to work with us, but we try to convince the people by all means to do this. And this makes it very sustainable. It makes the teams more effective, because you have only people who want to do it, are not pushed to do it. And automatically we get feedback, because if nobody comes, something is wrong. If they're coming, it's good. So this is something that we kind of continuously living. And If it comes to digitalization at Talanx, we think that there are three areas that are very important and we try to support them. Number one is we want to become more customer centric and not product centric. So if you have this kind of product perspective, it's kind of like you love the solution, but you ignore the problem. So we want to really fall in love with problems of our customer and then change the solution accordingly. So this is very important. The second one is the partnerships. Like I mentioned before, we want to make it even more intense beyond distribution, like really collaboration and co-creation with our partners and customers. And the third one is just to become faster, to not just opportunistic, but really be faster in onboarding, be more attractive for partners, for clients by using AI, BE or whatsoever.
Jan, you and your team also deal with the topic of behavioral psychology. I guess that this has something to do with the needs of our customers, right? But what does it exactly mean?
In a nutshell, basically, behavior economics is kind of like a overrated, underused, misunderstood topic. But at the same time, it's incredibly powerful. I think all the companies that you would consider successful, like, I don't know, Uber, Tesla, Amazon, whatever, they use behavior, and Apple, use behavior economics a lot. For us, it is mainly the way how people make decisions. If you understand how people make decisions while buying a product, while notifying a claim or whatever, or renewing a policy, obviously it helps you to make this decision situation better. So you can create it in a different way, in a way that that you will like to make this decision. In fact, most people don't like to make decisions, so they want to be decided. Yeah, so you have kind of default option whatsoever. So, but this is in a nutshell, like we understand how people make decisions, and we try to make this process, the decision, easier for them. And it's not always obvious. Very much of it is kind of common sense. But this is at the end kind of a win-win-win that everybody is happy. It's done. It's a cultural change because people think that customers and we think rationally, which is unfortunately or fortunately not the case. So it is kind of like converting from one to another religion. So it takes a long time, but I think we are very close to tipping point. And if it's done, I think it will be very powerful. So we like the topic. It's very powerful. And we have more and more people actually joining and applying.
Our listeners from the Talanx Investor Relations podcast are capital market participants. Jan, how do your activities and your results matter for the shareholder?
I think that they matter a lot because of two things. Number one, I think the investors, I assume that they are interested in a kind of what we call like winning the present. So basically delivering the numbers this year. Let's say 12 months. I think this is important. But even more, I think, what will be the profits, the numbers in 3, 4, 5 years, which we call like shaping the future. So I would say we spend maybe 20% of winning the present and 80% of shaping the future. So basically, if you invest in a company, you care about the performance in 3, 4, 5 years, that this is what we are doing. So we are trying to make sure that we will be profitable, we will be attractive by using behavior economics, artificial intelligence, by changing the culture of being open, experimenting. And all of this boils down to more revenue, better revenue, more profit, more loyal customers, and stuff like that. So I think it's extremely, actually probably our work is more important for investors than for the operational guys, because I think they care more about the future.
Jan, you know the second part of Talanx purposes and foster entrepreneurship. How does your work with your team contribute to this part of the purpose?
I think in many ways, but the most, what is entrepreneurship? It's kind of, it sits in a person, yeah? So we take care of the people. So if we have, because it's voluntary, if people want to move, if they want to change, if they want to build something, that we are the place to go. So they come and we are very happy to have them. So we hug them and we do something cool with them. So we empower them, we enable them, we give them tools, we connect them with startups, external companies. We give them a kind of like a home for this entrepreneurship outside of the winning the presents. Because, today they have to work in the departments. Obviously, we help them as well. But if they want to be really entrepreneurial and investing in new things, that this is the place to go, the best practice lab. We connect them also with other companies via agile desks or communities, tools across the Talents Group, because they can talk basically across the borders and exchange, not only via email, but personally or via webinars. They can basically shape the future of the company. Yeah, it could be talents, it could be topics, it could be partnerships, it could be things that are maybe not on the agenda today, but a talent would like to look at it and do this. So we are the enablers, orchestrators, and also somehow feel the temperature of this part of the power culture, and we can give it in a reflected way to our board and management to say we sense kind of this movement or these things, so it will be supported or taken care of.
Jan, I follow you on LinkedIn and I noticed your cartoons about how to lead now. There, you give impulses for reflection, for example, about the new normal since the corona pandemic or about leadership. How did you get into drawing and what does all of this has to do with digitalization at Talents?
Well, I mean, drawing is just like my hobby. I don't know. My father was a carpenter, so I always used the pieces of wood to draw something. And I think that what people like is this kind of simplified perspectives, visualized perspective. And I think by using a drawing and using a bit of text, you can reach more people. They can relate to it. It's kind of going to a museum and you don't know even why, but you like a picture. You just, it does something with you, yeah? And I think with this, you kind of put the topic on the table. You don't have to talk about it and describe it, but it's kind of like an open space for discussion. But the point is made with a drawing. So I like the visual way of representing the things. We actually use it for kind of like coaching groups and individuals because it helps them to kind of picture really like a map of where I am on this picture, where I would like to be. So it's very, very easy to discuss it, to envision it, to describe it, what we want to do. And it is very human. I mean, on top of this data, algorithms, computers and machines, I mean, at the end, these are humans and the humans have eyes, have ears, have the mouth here. So you have to kind of serve these interfaces accordingly and combine them. I think it kind of talks to the whole human because you don't use just a report or words, but you use pictures, you use sound. And I also do movies that are, you can say things differently. Or but at the end, it's basically how can I reach the person, convince the person, have an interaction with the person so that things start happening then.
Thank you very much for the interesting interview, Jan. It was a pleasure having you here. To you, dear listeners, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Stay healthy. We will be back with another episode of Talents Investor Relations Podcast in 2021.